everybody. Cal Banyan here. It's Cal Banyan's Hypnosis Etc. with Meredith Locker. If you're watching this program anywhere except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now, because right below this video, we got extra text, extra information, extra links, extra resources, stuff like that that pertain to the show. And also on that website, they always have news and articles and specials and stuff like that. So you want to make sure you go there. And you know what? Just in case you're here for the very first time, let me tell you a little bit about my co-host. She's a fabulous person. She is Meredith Locker, MA. She's got a psychology degree. She was a psychotherapist before she became a hypnotist, hypnotherapist, hypnosis professional. She has her own hypnosis service in the LA area. You can find out about her information at yourpathhypnosis.com. If I was going to get hypnosis services in the greater LA area, she'd be one of the very first people I checked out. And besides, you know, we're here from the show. You know, she has lots of information for you. She's a consummate professional, a five-pather, a seven-path teacher, and a one-percenter. What's a one-percenter? Best of the best, top of the top, one-percenter. How you doing today, Meredith?
I'm doing great, Cal. Thank you so much for all those kind words. I really appreciate it.
I meant every one of them.
Wonderful. Well, I don't know if everybody really knows you. And the truth is, you are the one who trains the best of the best, the one percenters. And I'm only a one percenter because of you. So thank you for all of that. Cal is, gosh, one of the hardest working people I know. He exhausts me just listening to all of the things that he does. All of the groups that he's involved in, all of the different facets of the work that he does, all of the places he goes to send out information, and he's always at the top of the profession with regard to what's all that stuff called? The technical stuff that I'm not so good at, Cal?
All that high-tech IT info webinobinist stuff.
Exactly. He's a webinobinist. He's been on the web longer than anyone I know, and he is definitely the one to contact if you want to either get trained or have some sessions done in the Orange County area. Definitely contact the Banyan Hypnosis Center. Go to one of his many websites. He has so many fabulous websites that offer a ton of information for hypnotherapists, hypnotists, for regular people who are looking for some help. For everybody under the sun, there's something for everybody there, and you can go to hypnosis.org. You can go to hypnosiscenter.com for specifics about training and sessions, and definitely check out his fabulous networking site, rhypnospace.com, where we have people live streaming right now, watching the show as we film it. Thank you guys for showing up. Isn't this fun, Cal?
It is so much fun, and especially want to say hi to everyone who's watching us right now on ourhypnospace.com. And you know what? Every one of you who's in the profession or wants to be in the profession, you ought to be a member of that. It's a very special worldwide community of hypnosis professionals and those who are thinking about becoming hypnosis professionals. Make friends, learn stuff, share stuff, have your own blog. It's a really cool thing. Get in there and do it.
I like it. I'm there.
Okay. Cool. What you got for me?
I've got so many questions, Cal. Thank you so much to everybody who's been submitting the questions. We really love it when you do. You can post questions on the Ask Cal group on ourhypnospace.com. You can also email them to us directly, and you can also join us for the live chat and send them to us real time, and we give priority to those real time questions. But we have some questions that were posted on Ask Cal on our Hypnospace, and so I'm going to go ahead with some of those. This first question is from Bruce. In Oklahoma, and he's saying, Cal, in your opinion, do you think a person with a home office that is not working at it full time should do more specialty work to become more of an expert, or should they continue working with any and all issues?
Well, that's a very good question. Who wrote this in?
Bruce.
Bruce. Thank you, Bruce. Now, let me tell you what's really nice about our profession is you can do what you want, right? But talking from a purely business standpoint, there's two schools of thought here. One is you should specialize, and the other is you should generalize. And I believe that being a generalist, if you have the training and you have the tools so that you can be a generalist, works. For example, five path. if you're a generalist and you work, and if you really know how to work with a broad range of things, then it's a lot easier to get started in the profession. Just think about it. If you only work with stop smoking, that narrows the number of people that you can work with. It's kind of a no-brainer. But if you're able to work with, you know, changing habits, working with fears, working with improving confidence, working with a great number of things, it greatly increases the probability that you're even going to be able to get started. And it also increases the probability that you're going to have enough work to where you can do two things. One, really get good at what you do. And two, go full-time if you want. And I really, it doesn't matter to me if you're in a home office or if you're in a big 4,000 square foot facility like we are. First, you get to do whatever you want. Number two, if you want to get started, get lots of work and be more successful, help more people, then be a generalist. That's what I think.
Yeah, I'm one of those people, Cal. I tend to get bored kind of easily. And so if I tried to be a specialist, especially in the beginning, just to get really good with things, I would probably be so bored with the profession that I would want to find something else. So for me, I wanted to go ahead and have that variety of clientele when I first started. And, I guess because I had some of the psychotherapy experience going in, I already had some experience working with different issues, and maybe that supported me. But I really think this has to be an individual decision. I think that people have to do what they feel comfortable with. And if you feel more comfortable starting out with smoking or weight loss and mastering that before you move on to something else, more power to you. If you feel comfortable jumping right in and trying a bunch of different things like I did, more power to you. You've got to do what feels right to you.
Absolutely. Good.
Wonderful.
Thanks for the question. Thanks for the answer. Great input there, Meredith. What's next?
All right. We've got a lot more. Here is another question, kind of about that initial contact with people. This is from Debbie, not sure where Debbie's located. She says, my instructor has talked about how you can have an awe, A-W-E, factor for you going for you when clients first come to you. And she says, I'm an extremely petite person at 4'10", under 100 pounds, and was wondering, will this affect the awe factor?
Gosh, you know, I think of Anne Schumann Urban, who was a really, really good hypnotherapist at our center. She worked for us for about a year and a half. She actually came for our internship and then stayed on. And she was, still is, a very petite hypnotherapist. And I think that hypnotists, just in general, we have this kind of awe-inspiring air about us because people think all kinds of magical things about hypnosis. So I think as long as you treat your client with respect, treat your profession with respect, I mean, really be professional, present yourself in a professional way, hold yourself in a professional way, then I think you're still going to be awe-inspiring. Do you think I'm getting at her question? Does that make sense?
Yeah, she actually gets more specific a little bit later. She says, will this compromise that client's ability to be hypnotized by me?
Well, not your height, but if you screw up your awe-ness, you know, your awesomeness, and you start kidding around and you're unprofessional, then that will mess up your ability to hypnotize someone. Because like I always say, hypnosis is a confidence game. If you don't get their confidence, there's not going to be a game. And so the idea is that you need to come across as professional as you are. Stature really has nothing to do with it. I believe that someone who is 3.5 feet tall, I mean, if they carry themselves in a professional way, would be as important, as good a hypnotist or hypnotherapist as someone that was 7 feet tall. I just don't see how height would have much to do with it.
Yeah, I don't either at all, Cal. And you know, the truth is, when you're doing a hypnosis session, you're going to be sitting down the majority of the time anyway. And so we all tend to be relatively eye to eye, no matter how tall you are, or short for that matter you are. I don't think it matters. I think it's all about believing in yourself, believing that you're bringing to the table some quality tools, and that you have a process that will help the client. And that's what really matters. They will sense that confidence from you. And if they don't sense it, then yes, the awe factor will be challenged and your ability to hypnotize them will be challenged. But if they feel the confidence from you, it doesn't matter if you're 2 feet tall.
Exactly right. And, you know, speaking of sitting down, I'd like to see a whole lot more people who are in wheelchairs come into the profession, and of all kinds of handicaps. I mean, if you can still speak, you can do this business and do this profession. So if you're a person who is in a wheelchair, gosh, there's no reason why you couldn't do this as well as myself or any other hypnotist. And gosh, you can, it's quite a profession. You have the joy of helping so many people. And if you do it right, it can be a very lucrative profession. Anyone who does this full time and has been doing it for a while should easily be making a professional income. I don't want to throw numbers around because it depends where you live in the country. But gosh, if you're, you know, the very, very reasonably, the $50,000 to $100,000 range, full-time hypnosis professionals are in that range all across the country.
Good. Thank you. Perfect. I've got so many questions, Cal. We just have to move forward. You ready?
Fire away.
All right. Kathy wants to know, you know, how would it be appropriate to ask for testimonials? She says, I'd like to ask some of my previous clients who were successful with hypnosis if they would be willing to give me a testimonial to put on my website. I'm kind of shy about doing this, and I'm uncertain as to how to ask in a way that allows them to feel okay about refusing. I'd also like to come up with a systematic way of asking for testimonials with active clients. Any advice?
Oh, boy. I've got a lot of them. While they're hypnotized, you'll say, the deeper you go, the better you feel. And the more people you tell about how great I am, the better you're going to feel. No, I wouldn't really do that, but the thought has come across my mind. Well, you know, we got a couple of things. One of the things I think our biggest thing that we do is we simply want is when people come in and they've had a few sessions and they're feeling really good about what's going on, we just have the receptionist or the hypnotist can do it also, is just give them a feedback form. The one we use is on legal size paper, and there's instructions at the top, and it says, please provide some feedback. You can just start off with a note like, Dear Cal, and then just tell me how it's been going. And then give them 5 minutes to go ahead and fill that out while they're still in the receiving area, if you have a receiving area. And then afterwards, you look at it and you say, thank you very much. Would you mind if I shared with this with others, or would you prefer that we just keep it confidential in your file? Now, out in our receiving area, which some people call a waiting room, but we don't keep our clients waiting, so we call it a receiving area, is binders filled with these kind of feedbacks or these kind of testimonial forms. And so the client knows that those are there, and I can say to the client after I've read the feedback, gosh, this is really nice. It would really be nice. It's totally up to you. Would you prefer that I keep this in your file, private and confidential, or would you like to have it out there in the three-ring binders where other people can read about the success that they've had with hypnosis? And most people, unless they're in for something, you know, like beating their wife or heroin addiction or something like that, they're pretty happy to just let us add it to the binder of testimonials, and it works out really good. And when they do that, I just have them write on the back of the form, it's okay if you share this information with others, and they sign it. And then we make the photocopy of that. That feedback and put it in the binder, and then we keep the real copy in their file folder that, you know, is their client file folder, and that works out really good. Do you have any other ideas, or Meredith?
Yeah, you know, because I don't have any staff to help me with that kind of thing, what I do is when I know or I'm pretty sure it's going to be a last session, I usually try to schedule a little bit of extra time in for the client, and then I do go ahead and give them a feedback form, very similarly, to them just at the beginning, before I even start session with them. And so I give it to them in my non-waiting room, in my receiving room. And so they go ahead and complete that, and then I go ahead and bring them in for session, that kind of thing. I do sometimes have clients that go, you know what, I really want to take more time to think about what I want to say, and that's okay. Then I go ahead and let them take the form. I usually will give them a envelope that has, you know, my return address already put on it, so I kind of have those prepared and printed, and I even have them stamped to make it more convenient for them. And then they'll mail them back in for me, and that's really nice that they want to give a thoughtful response, that kind of thing. The other thing that I do is I do periodically check in on my clients via email. And so what I'll do is I'll just send them an email just saying, you know, how has it been going? What's been going on for you? And they're usually really happy to hear from me. And because it's email, I'm not, you know, threatening any kind of confidentiality or anything like that. And they can certainly answer me when it's convenient timing. And if they write back with information that I think might be valuable to share with clients, either through my website or in a binder like that in the future, then I'll just write back to them, you know, wow, that's such beautiful information. I'm sure that that would help other people who are interested in the work. Would you mind if I share that with other people? Of course, not sharing your name, but would you mind if I share that information? And, you know, most often they're like, yeah, I would love that. I would love to have read something like this when I was first looking into coming to you.
Perfect. Good. I think that's going to be really helpful for people.
Yes, I think so too. And we've got more helpful questions. Are you ready?
Let's roll, baby.
Okay, William wants to know, is it necessary to keep session notes on all clients? I have been doing it with in the SOAP form, which is the subjective, objective, approach, and plan for all my clients. The SOAP form, for those of you that don't know, that's kind of, it's coming out of the psychotherapy field. It's a traditional note-taking fashion. And I personally don't use that format. And I know that, Cal, you don't either. But yes, I do take session notes on every single session, every single client. And it's mostly for me, but it also is a legal document. So I'm certain to kind of be really professional and concise with my notes, and it's really just a basic, how have they been since last session? What progress have they shown? What areas are they still needing, you know, to make progress in, if any? And what I did in that particular session, and then maybe I'll even make a little note for myself about the plan for next session at that point. Would you have anything to add to that, Cal?
Well, I do exactly the same thing, because that's, you know, kind of what we showed you to do at our center, and I keep my notes as mainly just... Again, with 5-PATH, I can kind of say, you know, completed phase one, and then any notes about that. Did this in phase two, which is age regression, and I'll write down, you know, the ages that we visited in the regression, what the ISC was, whether or not I completed the age regression or not, where I left off, and so on. But I keep the notes down to a minimum. Back when I was doing family therapy, it seemed like 50% of my time was taken up with paperwork, and when I decided to become a hypnosis professional, that I would try to keep it down to like 2 to 5 minutes where I'm doing paperwork, so that I could really spend my time working with my clients. And so I just take some concise notes, let me know what I've done. Sometimes I'll even say, should probably do this next, and always keep in mind that if for some reason the law got involved in your life, for whatever reason, your client records could be subpoenaed. And if there's a subpoena, you'll have to give them up. And so don't write down anything in your notes that you wouldn't want to be, you know, in a court of law. So make them clean, neat, professional. Don't doodle all over them, because it's just not going to look good, and concise, and sometimes a little bit terse. Good. Thank you, Meredith.
Yay.
Next.
We've got one more question, and this is from one of our live streamers in our live chat room on ourhypnospace.com. Cynthia wants to know, she's asking about the informing soul technique, and she wants to know, is the informing soul technique useful in helping a client to gain clarity in deciding upon a career change, or is another approach better?
Okay, now a little bit about the informing soul technique. Informing soul technique is kind of like hypnotic age regression, that you're going to go back to a previous time but before the person came into body. And so you're going to regress to a time when the soul is preparing to come into body. Don't confuse this with past life regression. This is, deals primarily with that preparation period where they're coming, preparing to come into this life. And not everybody believes in this kind of thing. But if your client believes in it and you feel all right doing it, then I highly recommend that you learn how to do it because it's tremendous. You've heard me say it before, probably. What are the two most important days of your life? They are the day you are born and the day you learn why you were born. And so I believe that people come into this life with a kind of a checklist of most important things to be done. And that's what some people call your calling in life. And if you don't, I believe that if you come into this life and you never learn what your calling was, if you never figure that out, it's a life wasted. It's like going to the grocery store and forgetting why you went there. And you go home with an empty cart or stuff that you didn't need. And so the informing soul technique, and I'll put a link down there to some information about the informing soul technique, is a way to get some clarity on why you came into this life. And people may have a purpose of having a particular profession for their entire life, or they may have planned to be in two professions. And that kind of information, from my experience, can be accessed in the pre-incarnation phase of your existence. And Meredith, you've been through that process with me. Maybe you can add a little something to it also.
Yeah, I think that it gives you a lot of clarity in general. I think that when you go through that process and you feel how it feels to be your true self, yourself in spirit, your most vast version of yourself, suddenly things like career start to just kind of fall into place because you kind of take a step back and you look from the big picture and you start to, get your priorities straight and you kind of get this better perspective on life and really your big purpose and really what it is that you're doing. And career can kind of, it can still play a role, but it's almost secondary to the bigger reasons why we're here, if that makes any sense at all. I hope I'm being clear. I know this is kind of it's kind of vague in discussing that, but it was a very powerful experience for me. It definitely helped me to see, first of all, that I am pretty darn amazing and that I do have great purpose more than any one job or any one activity will capture, and that I'm actually doing it, that I've really been on that path and I have been where I need to be at the right time. And it kind of helps you to accept things and to have more confidence and to be more powerful in pushing forward in your future activities.
Beautiful. Hey, but I know we're going to wrap it up here in a moment. I want to just say a couple of things. Is there anything else you want to say about informing soul technique?
Gosh, it's such a big topic. I don't know that I could say anything else in just a sentence or two, but I will tell you that if you have not yet learned how to do informing soul technique with your clients, I highly recommend that you do. There is a DVD series that you can purchase. It's actually a class that Cal filmed, and he filmed with me, doing a session with me as well as another person, and so you can actually see examples of the work, and it's a very powerful tool. Something that I try to use as often as I possibly can with anyone who has some sort of a spiritual understanding, anyone who has some sort of an understanding that we came from somewhere before we were here and we're going to go somewhere after we leave here. It really clarifies so much for people, and so definitely look into that. Just down here, if you're on calbanion.com, will be some links for that information.
Beautiful. I was just looking at her question, and she says, or is another approach better? If you're working with a client that doesn't have beliefs in a soul, if that doesn't really click with you either, then you I'm a five path guy, and that means I would do five path on this. And one of the things I would do is a phase one preparation, testing and convincing, making sure they're in the proper level of hypnosis and that they know it. Then in phase two, what I would do is I'd regress them to a recent time when they were kind of wrestling with the idea of going to the other profession. And I would find out if, you know, what are they thinking? What are they feeling? Remember the five questions, you know, what's happening? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? How old are you? And is that feeling familiar or new? And I would find out if there is an emotional conflict there. Like, are they really want to do this other profession, but they have a fear that they're not good enough? Well, in that case, I'd bring up the fear. I'd follow it back. I'd neutralize it, work them through that fear. And of course, the phase three and four is going to be the forgiveness of self and forgiveness of others. Actually, it's the other way, forgiveness of others and forgiveness of self. And then if there's any secondary gain, that's taken care of in phase five. And so certainly you could do both, right? And I think the very best way would be to do both the informing soul techniques, so you can get that perspective if the person is open to it, five path, you know, age regression based work, and then also in between sessions, I'd have them doing seven path self-hypnosis so they can also be reinforcing the work that we're doing in the sessions. Okay, a couple of quick announcements, and that is something really cool. I've mentioned it on my blog, but I haven't mentioned it in a video yet. The National Guild of Hypnotists has the first, I think it's the very first hypnosis journals, the first six journals of the Journal of Hypnotism ever published as PDF files on the site, on their hypnosis.net site. It's kind of hard to find, so I'll put a link down below so that you can get to those. Or PDF files, you can download them. I looked at them the other day. It's really, really great experience to look at those. Also, on calbanion.com, you want to become a VIP member because it gives you instant access to a page that has just the videos. And you can just go from one of these videos to the next and the next. And let's see. Also, I'll put a link down below. I've had this information for about, I don't know, 3 weeks or something like that from the time this video is being published. But there's been some real interesting news come out about how science has been using brain scans to better understand what makes hypnosis work. And they've been studying like hypnotic paralysis of limbs and seeing how the brain is working. So they're learning what hypnotists have known for a long time, and that is, you know, hypnotic catalepsy is real. It's not just pretending as if. Changes how you think in the brain. So hypnosis is real, Meredith and I are real, and we're really glad to have you on Hypnosis, etc. Take it away, Meredith.
Yes, thank you guys for all of the fabulous questions. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you to those joining us live in the chat room right now. This has been just so great being able to interact with you. It's so fun to be able to read your comments and get your questions in real time and make little comments with you. Thank you for joining us. We actually do have some questions that we did not have time to get to, one from Janet, one from Clint, and one from Bruce. And so I do still have those questions, just so that you know, we will get to those in future podcasts. Sometimes certain questions take more time, and so we have to kind of account for that. But thank you for submitting them. Please do continue to send in your comments and your questions. We look forward to seeing you next time. Meredith Locker signing off.
Cal Banion, go to hypnosiscenter.com, my entire course schedule, and go to Banion Hypnosis Mall. Got lots and lots of hypnosis training materials there. Make sure you become a member of our Hypnospace, the very first hypnosis professional and social networking site in the universe. And of course, hypnosis.org, where we have the directory. You can join for free, get more clients. That's a good thing. And we got everything else in, under the sun having to do with hypnosis on hypnosis.org. That's it. Cal Banion, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banion and Cal Banion's Banion Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.